This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Federal officials say they do not have many resources to offer if it takes over law enforcement on Northwest Montana's Flathead Reservation. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports those comments come as the county plans to stop providing those services on the reservation.
For decades, Lake County has overseen felony jurisdiction on the Flathead Reservation as part of a long-standing agreement. But commissioners say the county can no longer afford it and wants to pull out. That would pass jurisdiction to the state, but Governor Greg Gianforte says the state is also pulling out of the agreement. That means the federal government would take over, but Montana U.S. Attorney Jesse Laslovich says federal agencies are already stretched.
And we know for a certainty at this point, it will be worse in the short term, just from a resource perspective and holding people accountable.
He says his office would only be able to prosecute bigger cases that impact a large number of people, like large drug distribution or sex trafficking. Lower-level felony offenses might go unchecked.
That's an unacceptable consequence.
County Commissioner Gail Decker says it costs about $4 million to provide law enforcement services on the reservation.
If we have to stay in it just for public safety concerns, then we'll have to make decisions about where we can find extra money.
Decker says that could come in the form of budget cuts, staff layoffs, or asking voters to approve a levy. If Lake County continues with its plan to pull out of the agreement, the federal government would take over May 21st. In Columbia Falls, I'm Aaron Bolton.
Canada's Auditor General says the federal government is failing to pledges on housing and policing to the country's Indigenous people. It's a refrain from what was voiced by previous fiscal watchdogs. More from Dan Karpinchuk.
Auditor General Karen Hogan released three reports this week, two of them focusing on housing and policing for First Nations. She says her latest audit shows a distressing and persistent pattern of failure.
I'm rather discouraged that it's been 20 years and there is little progress despite the amount of money that has been invested.
Hogan says previous auditors general have talked about the situation being unacceptable and even beyond unacceptable. She says despite many warnings, the lack of funding for housing means that the number of First Nations homes in need of repair is basically the same as it was in 2015. She says it's obvious that the process has not been working and there is 20 years of information to substantiate that.
I'd like to see a fundamentally different approach taken by the government to address the issues, whether it be around safe drinking water, emergency preparedness, housing, or policing. The approach of being passive and siloed and having communities apply doesn't appear to be working.
Hogan says adequate housing is a basic human need and adds that she's completely discouraged that so many First Nations families continue to live in substandard homes. Hogan's report says Indigenous Services Canada and the Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation have made little progress to support First Nations efforts towards better housing conditions in their communities. She also says the data shows that government agencies have not given priority to communities with greatest needs, and those communities with poorest housing conditions got less money than those with better housing conditions. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
More than $30 million for 42 climate projects have been awarded to tribal communities in Alaska under the Bureau of Indian Affairs Tribal Climate Resilience Annual Awards Program. Alaska received about one quarter of the $120 million in awards recently announced. The funds are intended to help address climate change. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by BNSF Railway, proudly supporting the nation's economy by moving the goods that feed, supply, and power communities across the country. More at bnsf.com/tribalrelations.
Support by Sanofsky Chambers Law, championing tribal sovereignty and Native American rights since 1976, from opioids litigation to treaty rights to tribal self-governance. With offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska, Sanofsky Chambers Law.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.